From the First Midwest Bank State Street Studio on WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago, this is ESPN 1000. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie
on ESPN 1000.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
I give you a few of the headlines from today. Justin Fields was limited. A surprise injury today popped up on the injury report for the Bears. That was Cole Kmet.
With a groin injury.
He missed practice with a groin. So Dalton handled first team reps. We'll see how it goes for the week. It's Bears and Cardinals. The baseball deadline is tonight at midnight. There are lots of whispers about the Cubs negotiating with Marcus Stroman, the pitcher from the Mets in Toronto before that. Who he has flirted with the Cubs before. They've always liked him. We'll see if they could get it done before the deadline or if this is something they look at after a new agreement is reached. Brian Kelly, a lot of the talk still around him and Notre Dame. And Rick Hahn spoke today, and he says they're still in go-for-it mode. They're still looking to sign some guys, but they're also happy with where their payroll is.
Yeah, their roster today not necessarily will be their roster when they go to camp.
And then there's Bulls news, too, Michael Wilbon, as he joins us inside the First Midwest Bank studio. The Bulls were docked that second-round pick for the tampering, acquiring
Lonzo Ball.
Yeah, Lonzo Ball.
Random and bogus, and the league ought to be embarrassed.
Why?
Because there's so much tampering. I'm not going to snitch anybody out. I'm not my job to be the NBA's police. There's so many cases of tampering every day. Every day. Why enforce this? Unless you're just going to say, like the police would say, I know you were driving 58, but I can't catch the guy going, 97, so we'll just take you. This is bogus.
Sylvie, you had an interesting question. Who was it they were dealing with? The Pelicans?
Yeah, New Orleans.
How did New Orleans get away with not? I mean,
I know
it takes
the Bulls
two to
made
tango.
The signing, but it was a sign in trade. So
that's why it's bogus.
To complete it, why doesn't New Orleans?
It's bogus. Because here's why. Because it's random. All right? There are people who commit what ought to amount, in my opinion, to tampering violations every month. And so this.
Oh, yeah, it goes on, yeah.
It goes on all the time. I know cases of it. They had the nerve to get on Magic one year because he said something on, one of the late night shows. I mean, stop, stop. It's embarrassing.
Like when he was recruiting LeBron or something like
just
that.
Stop it.
Or
I don't even think it was LeBron. I think it was
AD,
something else.
Maybe.
It was just dumb. It looks dumb. It's a bad look for the NBA. As if everybody in the industry doesn't know that people are talking to folks who play or coach for other teams at all the time. I would look at whoever said something other than that to me and say, stop, please stop.
Say everything else. We know what egregious is. You know what egregious looks like. This is not an egregious violation of even the letter of the law. I'm sure you could find an example of something that wouldn't be acceptable.
There's a conspiracy theory over this. This went on in the summer.
What's the conspiracy?
The conspiracy theory is that Gar Forman works in the New Orleans Pelicans front office.
Oh, he was going to get the Bulls back.
And he ratted them out.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all, not for 10 seconds. Gar's not that kind of dude. He just isn't. I don't believe that.
He can ruin your team just by running it. He doesn't have to send anything. Right?
Well done.
Oh, come on. We're human. Mike, we don't do much. Wow. We got to fill 4 hours so we make people laugh.
It just annoys me. Look, it's not a big it isn't going to amount to a big deal.
They don't have a second round pick till 2026.
When it says your earliest available,
right?
And so wait on it.
Right? They could
Too bad
acquire
it's not 2030.
Denver's they could acquire Denver's pick like in then, next year, or the year after, or something,
and then
like
hand
that.
It over to the league.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just stupid.
So and then Kobe White is in. He's tested positive for COVID.
Oh, yeah. So he'll be out for 10 days.
I said this, Michael, too. Like, it's a bummer because anybody who tests positive, and obviously we wish them well. And that's first health. We want Kobe to be healthy, just like we wanted Vooch to be healthy. But with Vooch, he was just starting to try and get his way going with the chemistry of the team. And then he missed 10 days. He missed that road trip. That's a big bonding trip.
Yep.
Kobe has missed a lot of time. He's just getting these consistent minutes.
Yes.
And he's been inconsistent and looking forward
for a while.
And this is no way to sort of get back in.
No, and they could use him. You know, part of what I understand what the Bulls have done. I mean, the way they have played defense all season, except for like two games, has been tremendous. But you know what? There's some games coming up where they're going to have to outscore some people. And the Bulls actually can do that.
They did it against the...
they scored 100 against Charlotte.
Charlotte,
133.
They can do that when you've got Kobe, whether he's in the starting lineup or not. I know he's been in both. When you got all those guys, you got Vuce, you got five guys on your squad capable of scoring 30 points on it, and certainly 20 points in their sleep.
They have also, by the way, Mike's brought to you by my people at HawkAuto.com, Ford, Chevy, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Subaru, Cadillac, Mazda, and VW, all in one place, HawkAuto.com, where Chicagoland saves big. They have on more than one occasion as well shot like 55% from the field and 48% from behind the arc.
49% from the arc and 55, I think it was.
Something like that.
It was a season high. Maybe it was higher than that. So they can do that. They have the capability, you know. First of all, they're playing so unselfishly. So a guy like Kobe White, who is not the most aggressive guy, yes, he can look for a shot. But when you have him, first of all, it creates mismatches all over the place. It creates mismatches in your second unit. You can actually go and do some damage if you have Kobe White coming off. You know, somebody's got to come off the bench. They got defenders. They got a really complete-looking squad if everybody's healthy and on the floor.
Yes. And then, like, if Vooch can find the role, I know he's not going to score 30 every night, but if they could come at you from three different guys where Vooch on any night can score 20 to 25, I don't want him to be a 13-10 guy.
No,
like,
I don't either.
Like, he's not a role guy. He is brought here to be one of the big guys, the quote, big three of the Bulls.
And he prevents you from having to play small ball. And maybe he can.
That's what Charlotte struggled with. Like, they didn't have an answer for him defensively.
They don't. A lot of teams don't have, as they go. Listen, last night, you know, I was in Phoenix 24 hours ago watching that incredible
you were
game.
There?
Yeah. And, you know, the Golden State Warriors didn't really have an answer for DeAndre Ayton.
Yep. Especially
down
the stretch.
And not many people do. So, you know, when you can throw the ball into a guy and have him score from any of the three levels on the floor, that's a good thing. I mean, I still like where the Bulls are. I just want to see them all together. They got to be, you know, look, we saw what happens last year if you're missing a big cog, whether you are the Clippers, the Lakers, Denver, I don't care. You're not going to be completing. You're not going to be able to go as deep in the playoffs as you can with everybody. I'm hoping the Bulls can be one of those everybody.
Is there someone that you know that we could keep an our eye on another team that the Bulls could target?
This is so funny that you say this. So Thanksgiving night, well, the night after, because the Bulls played, in my house in Maryland, my brother and Jordan are there, and, of course, Matthew and I are there. And all the four of us did was try to come up with, we spent like 8 hours, like several games worth of conversation was devoted to.
Not Danny Jordan. We're talking Michael Jordan.
No, we're talking
MJ.
Jordan Wilbon.
Okay.
That's what we're talking. So we're going, no, and because if I said that Michael Jordan said that they'd fine him for tampering.
Okay.
Sacramento's the club I want to target. Because they got games like last night where they go and they beat the Lakers in triple overtime in L.A. and it looked just like dog food last night. So they got bigs, like the kid from Duke.
Bagley.
They got Bagley. I think Rashawn Holmes seems like their second best player. I don't think it's going to be him. And they got, there's another big on that team that they have. And we all four of us could agree on targeting the Kings because they're going to be sellers come deadline, right? So you look, where are the bad teams and who do they have? Who do the bad teams have that are going to be expendable? Well, you can't give them a second round pick right off the bat because that's been taken away. But Sylvie, as you look at that roster, besides Rashawn Holmes, who I don't think they're going to give up, they do have Bagley, and there's one other big that I'm going, yeah, he can help the Bulls. Coming off the bench, they got to have. Look at what JaVale McGee has done for the Suns. Now JaVale McGee's different. JaVale McGee is a late bloomer and a guy who's played for championship teams. Puts him in a different category. I can help in like four or five different ways. But if the Bulls can have some, we're gonna need some size.
Yeah. You're not thinking of Tristan Thompson, are you?
Yes, like, Tristan Thompson. Yes.
So a role guy who's been on it.
He's been on a championship team. You want somebody who knows how to set a screen and throw a well-placed elbow. In addition to have a couple of putbacks and some skill set, but I'm talking physically, unafraid. can knock somebody down in the middle of April.
What about Houston? A lot of people have talked about Wood.
I don't think that. No, they're not giving up Christian Wood. Christian Wood, first of all, how much is he making? Maybe he hasn't gotten paid yet. Look, Christian Wood's too good. Christian Wood's the guy you have if you don't have Vooch. Christian Wood just had like 25 and 18.
Yeah, no, he's very good.
No, they're not getting Christian Wood. So I'm dismissing that. And he ought to be one of the young guys that they're building around, telling John Wall, yeah, just take some vacation at $44 million. We got a young group here that wants to play. Right. We want to play.
I see him. How have you felt about the way Zach has played in this
great
environment with everyone around him?
Great. And I've been told by other people on other teams that Zach seems like a different player today.
Leading, he certainly is a more active defender as well.
Active defender, this effort. So, yeah, I've been told by other players and coaches about the way they feel about Zach LaVine and the way that he and
DeRozan
play off each other. Look, that marriage didn't have to work out this well.
This soon.
This quickly.
Like it was instantaneous.
And so it's worked. It continues to work. They clearly understand the need for it to work. And how, you know, they need to play and conduct themselves so good. No, there's nothing. The Bulls have had one bad loss. I don't know how many bad losses a team, a really good team, would say you're allowed. I mean, there's some schedule losses. Like, I thought the Bulls were going to lose Sunday night to the Knicks. They didn't. But then the next one was
coming. The Pacers.
They were going to lose one of those games. Schedule loss. Coming back from the West Coast. I don't care how great you are. Michael and Scotty lost those games.
Right.
They would come back from those West Coast games. They come home, boom, they lose. So how many of those do you have? 7, 8? I don't think 10 is too many. I think 10 is too many. 5, I think there's more than that. So the Bulls had a schedule loss. The Houston loss is bad loss. So, but one bad loss out of 21 games or whatever it is?
Not bad.
How many have they played? They're 15-9.
14-8. Aren't they 14-8?
Let me double check on their record. It sounds right. 14-8, I think, sounds right.
I think 22 games.
14-8.
All right, so they're two games beyond.
The Nets are ahead of them.
That's going to change because they got some games coming up.
They're all grouped up, too. There's a lot of teams at 13-8.
The Wizards.
Yep.
You know, so this is an exciting, interesting time to observe the league. Look, Golden State and the Suns. You know, they're going to have to come back a little bit to the pack. I don't mean a lot. I think they're the two best teams in the league.
But the Suns did not lose a game in the month of November.
How about that?
And they lost Booker last night.
Yeah,
it's not bad. It's not bad, I'm told. And Booker's he's annoyed. You know,
sure.
Annoyed is a lot better. Look, in the NBA, you get some injuries. Look at how long is Memphis losing Ja Morant for? Like a month?
We're looking Clay on. Let me think about mind blowing.
Yeah, that's organization changing. So it sounds like Book is going to be okay in a few games. I mean, even if he misses 4 or 5, you know, because it sounds like they're telling him we're not chancing this.
Are the LeBron James days of championship basketball?
Hold that thought. We'll get it. Yeah. We could ask more about that coming up. We'll talk about LeBron.
Yeah.
I want to also ask you about if you're chanting or not chanting.
What does that mean?
Okay, well, I'll tell you coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Get to this chanting conversation in a minute. Yeah, chanting. Michael.
Soccer game?
Michael.
He does witchcraft as well. Yeah, he's into voodoo and stuff.
The things I learn when I actually sports make it voodoo. In here and sit.
We were mentioning, you could get the look on Twitch. I mean, he is dressed like a TV star today.
Well, he is a TV star.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
I'm not a TV star.
There are days where he doesn't dress up as much as he does today.
No, I'm not dressed. I don't have a tie on today. I'm just wearing what I usually
wear. It doesn't matter. That is casual dressy. Is that even a phrase?
Probably.
I think it's acceptable.
It's a dynamic look.
Yeah.
Casual
yet dressy.
Square.
It's casual dressy.
That's my wheelhouse. I don't wear ties that much on our show, PTI. I do wear them on Countdown because that's a different culture. That's a different influence. That's four guys actually arguing about who's better dressed.
Oh yeah, you
which
guys.
Which we've take always it to the done it going level. Back to. Gosh, it's an appropriate time to mention our great friend, the late great Stuart Scott, and we would do this on set in L.A. with John Barry and Magic. It's like a contest. who's wearing what. We have some tie exchanges.
Sylvie
That's a different
and I would
culture.
Definitely lose those contests.
That's a different culture. No, you wouldn't, because you would come ready to roll. And that's not the case, you know, on the afternoon shows on the network, pretty much. Half the time, people are now wearing T-shirts and stuff. I'm not down.
I'd be rolling in there looking like I just got out of Men's Warehouse. I'd be laughed off the set with you guys.
This is dressed up for me now. Yeah. I've been wearing sweatpants every day.
It's
I'm like an NBA coach now, Michael.
You got to get gear. Where's your ESPN Chicago gear? Jeans. You don't wear jeans unless it's a special occasion.
This is like I'm going to Second City after this, so I wore jeans.
Yeah, I've decided I'm not doing that. I'm getting dressed.
But Michael Page noticed, and he took a picture of you on PTI. You pull off the double quarter zip.
Yeah.
Not only one quarter zip underneath the beautiful sport coat.
Who knows this? This person's got to be a blonde.
I know this,
double
too.
Double quarter zip.
I got double quarter zip only because I put on underneath the over the jacket quarter, and with the quarter zip bib, I put this is way too much to know.
Quarter zip bib. Wait, time out. When did it? I've never heard the phrase quarter zip bib.
That's a bib.
Is that just like a vest?
Yeah, but it's a bib.
Oh,
it's sewn in.
Yeah. It's sewn in.
Oh, okay.
I got a leather jacket like that.
This
it's awesome.
So I put this on today, and I put on a polo, just a, you know, Zegna polo. And I've lost enough weight where I had like turkey neck. The neck of it was so big. I go, whoa, I got to do better than this. And I had to, you know, toss off the Zegna polo, which was navy as well. I had to go with the double quarter zip.
So that
was
this. Even. And listen, the cashmere overcoat that I was talking about earlier
not cashmere.
Is also a beautiful blue color as
fashion.
Well.
I'm going to mention this. So when I was 18 as a freshman at Northwestern, and I wanted something that just looked cool, and I raided my father's closet. And my father had this three-quarter length, very narrow, like something that, you know, Raymond Milan would wear in a 1950s movie.
Form-fitting. You know.
Yes, it was just great. And it was wool and cashmere. And I just said, Dad, I'm taking this. And he goes, no. And he went to sleep. Or he went to play some pool with somebody. And I just took the jacket, took it to Evanston.
Oh, no.
And I kept it. And then, you know, my father passed. Well, I was 27. I still had it. And I kept it. I kept it until I got too big. I gained enough weight. But by the time I got to be 40, I couldn't wear it anymore. I'm 40. I'm fat. I'm 40. So I took good care of it, but not, you know, I couldn't wear it. And there was nothing to let out. It was just a perfect coat.
Yeah.
My father told me he paid in 1947, which means he was 22, 21, told me he paid $250 for that. Oh, my father was
incredible.
Penny pincher, right?
You get a car
so
for that.
This coat. This coat I'm wearing today, when I got to have enough money and walk down to a certain highly priced store on Michigan Avenue, I walked in there on last call. Now people know what store it is. And I bought this. And it looks exactly, it fits exactly like the coat that I took out of my father's closet.
It reminds you of your dad every
time. Reminds me of my dad. I pretend the coat is purchased in 47. How many years is that?
That's
74 years.
Wow.
If I kept that coat, if I fit in it, it'd be 74 years old, but I couldn't fit it anymore.
How many zeros difference from the 250 do you have to add to the price?
Surprisingly close. No. Last call. That's why God made last call. No.
My last calls are different than your last call.
It'd probably
last call,
been
I'm rolling around on a floor at a bar puking on myself. That's the last call for me.
That is decidedly not.
We're like,
I know that's not
call.
You, but when like my last call is different than your last call.
I love that.
All right, so the chanting, the
what is this?
I have not, Michael. It started at the game we were both at the Ravens game.
Yeah,
and the Fire Nagy chants. It has happened at the United Center. It has happened for both Blackhawks and Bulls games. Happened the other night at the U of I basketball game in Champaign. It is going on It happened at a wrestling event at Wintrust last Wednesday.
I'm not a booer or a chanter.
I don't do that.
So
I wouldn't even participate.
Because you are not a Nagy fan. So you're telling me you're not standing
up. Let me ask you this.
Yelling, fire,
at some
Nagy.
At some point, we could find a clip, both here and on PTI. If I wasn't the very first person who said, this guy is not the guy.
Yeah. You were right.
Yes, you were.
And I believe that. I believe it now more than ever. I believed it last week more than ever. He couldn't even count to three. He went for a 2-point conversion when the extra point would have kept him. If you have to anticipate the other team scoring to some degree, all right? You don't have the 85 Bears. And because he allowed a score, he couldn't win the game with a field goal if they got the ball back.
Oh, so you wanted him to go for one. You wanted
of course.
Him
really? No, I wanted to go for two.
No, you have to anticipate the other team scoring, which he didn't do. I'm talking about the late one. I'm talking about the late score.
He wanted them to go for to kick the field goal instead of to kick the extra point instead of going for two.
Because then they would have been
burned a timeout.
Remember, yes.
Yeah, but
they,
like,
and then he calls a timeout and calls a wildcat.
Mike, that makes sense if there's 10 minutes left. When there's a 1:40 left,
shouldn't use a timeout either way.
You should have two timeouts, and you should be down two. So they're kicking a field goal. When you throw the ball over the middle twice and call timeout, wins the game. Now, football coaches more than any other sport like to say, you never played the game. Football, I mean, stop, okay? Because the rest of us may not be as smart as people about football, but we're not morons.
But let me ask you this.
Two timeouts enables you to throw the damn ball over the middle and win the game.
Okay, so I think we all agree that the willy-nilly lack of valuing your timeouts, biggest mistake of all.
God.
The fact that you had to call a timeout. If you're whatever decision you make, make it with a little bit of conviction so you don't have to burn a timeout.
He waited for the fans to make him go for it on fourth down. When he went for the Wildcat.
You think the fans pressured him?
I think it's possible.
Wanted to punt?
I said that before.
I think it's possible.
In live time, I told him I was going to say this, so I don't mind saying it. In live time, Richard Dent, the great Richard Dent, wearing a gold jacket. I'm watching.
Was he wearing the gold jacket?
No.
That would have been great.
It would have been. Richard said, don't let the fans make up your mind.
Yeah.
And it was so great because that's what happened. Because then he calls the timeout and he sends a wildcat out there.
Again, the timeout, the mismanaging of the clock is what bothers me most. Because.
Right.
The Wildcat thing doesn't bother me as much because I've seen them be effective using the Wildcat.
But you got two terrific running backs. You don't know how to use them. He doesn't know how to use. He's got three people who can run the ball and do it like the Baltimore Ravens.
Well, but the snap was directly to David Montgomery. I think David just kind of misread where he should have been gone.
But then if you don't have
But you're right. But I mean, the timeout mismanagement of the clock to me is in your timeouts
so bad. It's like a Saturday Night Live skit.
It just to me, both of those decisions. If you're a good head coach, you're already you're two or three plays ahead.
Yes.
And you're saying, if we get to fourth, we're going deep here on third down.
Right.
Because we're going for it on fourth down.
He doesn't seem to have any.
So what are you calling a timeout for? Why are you wasting a timeout? Why are you wasting a timeout late in the game going for two? You should know. When we score,
guys. 100% right.
When we score, here's what we're going to
do. Well, and the time management issue should not be as big of a factor considering he's no longer calling plays. Like, there should be no confusion. His job is to be the CEO of the team and be in charge of these decisions without being distracted by play calling. And that's where, they failed on that front.
You chant.
He boos.
I don't chant. I sit there. I scream. I mean, I was in a
sleep. You yell at them.
I'm yelling. And I realized.
But you've never booed your team?
No, I don't do that.
But you yell. You stink? Do you yell, you stink?
Maybe
and they scream an expletive.
But I do that at home. I don't do that in the arena.
I will scream. What the f are you thinking?
Yes,
but
yes.
I won't. Like I don't know.
What are you doing with the timeouts? Is what I probably would. No, I don't. I've never
like after one of those timeouts. I'll load it up. You know, you got to get throttle with it. You got to cup the hands and you got to go.
No,
and everyone together.
Then you have a mini stroke, and next thing you
know, you got to
Go see somebody in the medical tent.
Medical tent. Wouldn't that be great if Sylvie was being ushered into the blue tent in the fourth quarter?
Concussion-like symptoms.
I don't let Matthew boo. I told him.
Really?
No, we went to a game. I think it was a Cubs game, and one of the disappointing years. And he let out a boo for something. I said, here's the deal. You're going to get to an age in which you can do whatever you want because you're going to afford the ticket. You can do whatever you want. It's not a bad. What you're doing is not a bad thing. But you're not going to do that with me. I don't boo. I think my father didn't let me boo. It then was White Sox for him. We went to White Sox games when I was a little kid. We went to Bulls games. We did not boo Jerry Sloan and Bob Love and Chet Walker and Norm Van Leer and Tom Boerwinkle and Dick Motta. We didn't do that. So no, we're not.
Sylvie takes his kids to booing camp.
Well, it's
three
funny.
Of them go learn to boo.
See, here, I have a story for you. I need advice on a couple of things. All right. So one of them is a stadium thing, more stadium etiquette.
Okay.
Then the rumors continue to pick up about the Cubs. Are the Cubs ready to spend major money on a player? We'll get into that coming up next.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
They're getting louder. The talk, the buzz, even though it would be very hard to get a deal done and finalized before midnight when the collective bargaining agreement expires, it is picking up steam. Ken Rosenthal mentioned it too. Cubs are in negotiations with Marcus Stroman, a guy they've always loved. He had about a 3 ERA this past year with the Mets. Don't look at the win-loss total, of course, like most pitchers these days. I think most people don't, because the Mets stunk. The Mets never got any run support. They don't get run support for Jacob DeGrom when he's healthy. But he had a pretty good year with the Mets. He's been a good pitcher throughout his career with Toronto. He's 30 years old, and they continue. Would it surprise you, Michael, after it looked like they weren't going to spend, if they would commit to a pitcher like that long term?
They seem wishy-washy, so no. I mean, when you're back and forth and we don't know what you're going to do. Look, this is not like when a certain fellow came in from Boston riding in on a horse. You knew what he was going to do. We knew what he was going to do. I defy anybody to tell me they know what the Cubs are going to do right now, which hopefully answers that question.
No, we don't. No. If Theo was working behind the scenes, I'd have more confidence. Right. With all the mistakes he even made, like, yeah. I always say the mistake with Castellanos, not bringing back Castellanos at $60
million. That was a glaring one to me, because I just thought he was made for, and he seemed to play with such a bounce when he was at Wrigley.
Yeah.
And then, where he wanted to be.
Yes. Or staying with the core too long, you know what I mean?
But baseball is, there's nobody who's ever put together, even a great team, hasn't made mistakes. And so I'm okay, because Theo won, and he got close two other times. I don't have, you know, but now I don't even know what the intent is. What's the intent? What's the stated intention? There is no stated intention. We're going to be in it for the long haul. You get generalities. You get platitudes. I don't care about that. And when they're ready to actually go for it, I'll be interested again. I mean, I'll be interested, because I've been interested, God knows, when they didn't go for it. But don't wishy-washy me.
Yeah. On the chanting, I do have a good thread going on Twitter where, like, to me, the Fire Nagy chants are fun and cute. But they don't go deep enough, because we know the problem isn't just Nagy.
Right.
The team president has been the same guy for 22 years, yep, who has a sub-500 record and not even a Super Bowl win and not a lot of playoff appearances. Ryan Pace hasn't done his job. So most people have agreed the best chant for the Lakefront on Sunday against Arizona, if things go poorly, is sell the team.
Yeah, sell the team. I wouldn't even waste my breath with that.
That's the least likely outcome.
It's the least likely
true
in the entire NFL. What family who's had a team for 100 years sells it? And the answer is
fire them all. Sounds better than sell the team.
Here's why I would argue with you guys. Sell the team hits George to the core. We know they're not going to sell the team. What is going to make George change the team when they come at him?
That's interesting.
So they're like, oh, he's like, oh, boy. They're not coming at Nagy anymore. Coming at me now.
Look, we know how deeply he feels it, but is he going to feel it if he hears that?
I think so. I think when it's different when they come after your coach. It's different when they come after your general manager.
Point, man. I hadn't thought about that.
There is no chance they sell the team.
None.
But when they're chanting about you and your family.
He's obviously now never heard our holiday parody song contest because...
But you know what? Think of how many times that gets chanted or said or written.
Not here, though.
Not here.
The Gar Pax chant, we were talking about that. I was on with Kellerman the other day, and I said, look, the Bulls heard it, and they saw it with lack of people showing up. But you were in town. It's when you got noticed that you were going into the Basketball Hall of Fame. On when they were on First Take, and that angry fan group was chanting Fire Gar Pax.
Yeah.
It was embarrassing, and they heard it. They finally heard it, and they changed.
I don't think they finally heard it. I mean, Pax made up his own mind that he was not going to do it anymore. I don't think
Michael consciously said,
no. "Pax, you're out." No, he didn't.
Or that we need a new set of eyes. Pax, you're
but
here.
No. Pax took that hard. He did. I talked to him. I mean, Gar was going to be caught up in whatever happened. You know, he wasn't the
tattling on us down in New Orleans when we were, you know, making deals. That's what Gar was doing.
Yeah, that's right. I don't think that mattered. I live in a place where the franchise has gone, the most popular franchise, at times the only franchise in the nation's capital, has gone from revered, beloved, a 20-year waiting list to just get on the waiting list. And now there's you can walk up and say to a ticket taker, "Get out of my way. I want to come in. I'm not paying anything."
Well, the game on Monday night. Did you see the lack of people in the stands on Monday night?
That's my point.
You know, you're right.
Okay, so that's what has happened to that franchise. You know what's happened when they chant about Snyder?
They don't care.
Nothing.
Right. I think you make a fair point because I think George.
George cares.
You make a good point. There's an extra layer of insulation.
Yes.
For owners because their asset is worth billions of dollars.
And it's been in the family in this case 100 years.
Yeah. And you're not. You really, honestly, you don't have to perform to perform.
Not in that league. Right. Not in that league. You're going to make money. You're going to print money in your basement.
Yeah.
All right? So you got an ATM and only hands out.
He always says 300 billion. How much?
$321 million each team gets on like March 31st the football year.
What are you talking about? So yes, you raise an interesting point. But ultimately, I think I believe exactly what Tommy does. And I know George is not Dan Snyder, not on any level.
I think
not
George is less level. Callous than other owners. I think you make a good point about George because I think George is different.
He's a fan in his Peyton jersey.
Yeah.
He's like you, Michael, where he'll wear his Sayers jersey.
Yeah.
He'll wear his Piccolo jersey. He'll wear the Butkus jersey. He's a fan and he does want them to win. He's clueless on how to get them to win.
A lot of owners are like that in every sport. But I just don't think, man, the Bears are going through some kind of transition right now. They need to go through a transition in terms of who runs the actual on-field product.
Yeah, I have to tell you,
other thing hanging over him with the stadium.
Well, and that's one of the things that leads me to believe, and maybe it's just me being ridiculously optimistic because it's never happened. I think there's finally appetite for real change from George and the ownership group, and I think the fact that they're willing to buy the property in Arlington Heights says as much. We're doing things differently now. And I do believe that... Again, I may just be hoping beyond hope that you're not only going to get a coaching change, you're going to get a general manager change, and I think that they will move Ted to a different part of the building. That's my hope, but that's also something I think is truly possible this year that I didn't think was possible in years past.
Is George my age? What is George? 64? 63? What, how old is George?
I'll look it up.
Early 60s, probably.
I hope you're right, because it would still give him enough time to see the fruits of that if it was to be done the way it ought to be. But you know what? They're just as likely to become completely irrelevant. And because you make that much money.
This can't be right.
No, it says here he's 77. He's not 77.
Maybe it is. Is George 77?
It says June 10th, 1944.
Oh, my God. Then yeah, he'd be.
It's Wikipedia, though. I mean, what does the Bears bio say? I mean, does it list him?
George is 77.
That can't be. That would mean Virginia. Well, Virginia's
96. She wasn't.
Well, Michael was older. Michael's
right,
passed away.
He's not
away
even the oldest.
Yeah,
child.
He's not
so
even the oldest.
That's not right. That's not accurate. It can't be. Virginia's
doesn't
96.
Give his birthday in his biography. All it says in his biography on the. Wait, hold on. I gotta.
We gotta do some crude.
Well, it says Michael McCaskey passed away at 76 back in May of 2020, and he was the oldest. So.
So closer to 70 than I thought. But, I mean, you don't want to see, look, with what the Packers are doing, the Bears become increasingly irrelevant. That's the worst thing you can become.
Oh, yeah. Like or that your fan base and the people that used to cheer you are apathetic.
And by the way, if that happens, that big new stadium you guys want so badly in Arlington, it's going to be a mausoleum.
I don't know.
Because, Sylvie... Listen, I live downtown. I have a sense of how downtown feels and how it simmers and the way it works and the temperature you can take when the Bears are just like 2 years, like 18. I have a sense of what that is.
And I'm cool with that because then I can have two seats on my left and two seats on my right, all to me.
No, you. Oh, yeah. Out in
right.
The birds,
lay, yeah.
You would.
Right. Well, I kick my jacket off.
Listen.
72 degrees inside.
Here's what you guys can joke.
Bartender!
You guys can joke about it because you haven't seen a team that's an all-time revered great franchise become completely and absolutely irrelevant. I have. Okay? I've seen it. All right? So the Bears, no team was more popular in its context than the Washington Redskins were from 1970, George Allen, through the Gibbs years. So let's go 1991 or two.
We had to get a Gibbs reference today.
So there's 30 years. There's more than 20 years. No team was more popular. Not the Giants, not the Cowboys, none of that. None of it. It is irrelevant. It is dead. It is buried. R.I.P. Now, you guys, and what helped really pave the way for that is moving that stadium to the suburbs, moving that fan base to the suburbs. No fan bases in the suburbs. You guys have got to get this through your heads.
But the Bears are already there. They Sylvie, reside in Lake
Sylvie,
Forest, Iowa.
The Redskins resided in Leesburg, Virginia. It doesn't matter. The heartbeat of those franchises are in their respective cities. You guys will have a shovel each of you burying this franchise if they become irrelevant. Now, maybe they won't, Tommy. My hope is they won't become irrelevant. They can get it together right here on the lakefront before they either move or build something new. That's my hope. Because I'm a fan of this.
But the disaster that you just described is still the fifth most valuable entity in the National Football League.
They're
worth $4+ billion. The Washington Football Team.
They were one.
Over the Cowboys.
They may have been one.
They were above the Giants, I know that.
But they were probably worth $1 billion at that time. Others have leapfrogged them, but their asset value has appreciated to the point where they're worth almost $4.5 billion.
What did you say about Monday night? Tell me again.
It was empty.
Tommy, you couldn't get a seat.
There's still a long way to go here for that. Let's continue the conversation.
It's a long way to go.
And we're waiting on the Cubs are negotiating with Marcus Stroman. Will this happen before the deadline? 312-332-3776. Michael Wilbon is here. More coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87, ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Cubs fans continue to be excited on Twitter over the possibility of Marcus Stroman coming to town. They're in conversations, and remember, the deadline comes up before midnight, so they're trying to get this contract done.
What would be the difference between having one Marcus Stroman and having had Yu Darvish? One guy on a staff ain't going to do squat.
Well, it's better than what they have now. You're building with a long-term guy. All they have is Cal Hendricks and Wade Miley.
My question would be, what would Stroman find attractive about the Cubs that he... I mean, they're not positioned to win now. Yeah, but somebody can pay him. Somebody that's competing could... The team on the south side, you know, could use another starter.
Are they interested
in
paying another starter?
They got enough starters. They got enough. Their people need to apply themselves and not roll over for dead the moment they see certain uniforms like the A's.
You're accusing them of being scared of the Astros?
Yeah. I did that with you guys in live time last year. I told you before series started, they're physically afraid of the Astros. And they were.
I think they could use another pitcher, another second baseman.
Another left-handed power bat.
They got enough. They got enough.
I don't think you could ever have enough, can you?
They had enough talent to win. It's not talent's not their issue. They roll over. They see Houston. They just crawl into a hole. What other explanation would you have for them playing Houston the way they did?
How do you get scared, though, as a baseball player?
Wait. In any sport, you can be intimidated by the opposition. We're seeing that with Golden State right now. We've seen it in baseball. We've seen this. We've seen this with the Cardinals and the Cubs for decades.
I just don't think. Is it done? Can they get it done?
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Marcus Stroman at STRO at STR0 official. Oh. Buchek has tweeted Chicago exclamation point at Cubs.
Chicago at Cubs.
I mean, that would.
What does it mean?
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
What does it mean?
Sounds like he's coming here. Yeah, I mean that.
Good.
I think that's 2021 social media
newsman Michael Wilbon. Michael's, does not like new.
No, not like. Michael, I'm just saying. What does it mean?
Marcus Stroman is reporting Chicago exclamation point at Cubs.
Welcome.
That's all he tweeted. He didn't say, hey, I've
maybe
signed
he's
with...
Maybe like, hey, I want, you know what, let's get this done. Give me more money.
Could he tweet out the details?
Well, okay, so here's another thing. John Heyman tweeted, Stroman is a Cub, first at Stro, you know, with him breaking his own news, and he retweeted John Heyman's tweet saying
okay. So we got
that
enough
Marcus
to know.
Stroman is a Cub.
Okay, all that's great. What the hell does it mean?
We're going for it, Mike.
It means, yes, that they're not in just patchwork mode of collecting a bunch of projects and losing 90 games.
They're going to go out and sign Trevor Story?
That they could
maybe. When I hear...
Then that should be
when
next.
When I see what Detroit is doing...
Carlos Correa.
Then we can talk about when their everyday players are rolling here. Then we can jump to some conclusions. Right now... This alone, Sylvie. I'm saying is this alone means nothing.
Look, but when it's a bunch of guys who have flamed out that you're trying to save on these cost effective deals, but then right before the deadline, the Cubs say to you, "Here's our checkbook. Here's one of the best starting pitchers on the open market. Okay. We're willing to pay."
That, like,
shouldn't be surprised by that, Michael. For normal times, but the way it's been the last 2 years,
yeah, but
it maybe we're turning a page.
But I'm okay
now.
With the rebuild. It worked once. I'm okay. I'm not damning the Cubs because of the approach. I'm just saying I got to see more than this. I ain't that easy. You got to show me more. I got to see some everyday players rolling in here for some big money. Look what Detroit is doing.
Right. And there's still a lot of guys left.
What are there details for Stroman's deal yet?
I haven't seen yet. Anybody else reporting this? As far as money is concerned, but it's cool that Marcus Stroman broke his own story.
He said, ready to deal all year in front of that unbelievable crowd. Let's go to work.
And then Bob Nightingale, it's from Nightingale, but this isn't a fact piece. He says, Marcus Stroman was the top free agent starter on the market before agreeing with the Cubs. The
good.
Cubs signed
the top guy.
I mean,
that's good.
That shows me that today... They're willing to say, okay, we bottomed out, now let's build.
There was some teeth to what Tom Ricketts sent out there in that newsletter.
Does Sylvie have a chant for that?
Fred Huebner and Zander are coming. Fred has the line of the night saying Marcus Stroman just tweeted he can't wait to hold Sylvie's kids at spring training.
Very good, Fred. You're coming on. You're coming in hot. That's very good.
I've just quote tweeted Marcus Stroman and said, hey. So it's official.
Yeah, by the way, just tell him as well. Give him about 3 or 4 months. Those kids will be booing his ass as well if things don't go well. Because they're a booing family.
The funny part now, Fred, is they're Sox fans. That's maybe Stroman's the first to get my
Where's
kids
Stroman
back.
Where's Stroman from, by the way?
I know he went to Duke. Is he from New York originally? I got to look that up. I don't know if that was his hometown team or not.
Okay. Get me Medford, that. New York.
Yeah, he's from New York.
From New York.
And he played at Duke. A little guy, too.
Is he?
5'7",
5'8".
A starting pitcher?
Yeah.
I was lecturing my son last night on why there's no good starting pitchers under 6 feet. None. Mm-hmm. And most of them are 6'2", 3'4", 5".
Well, we have one coming to town.
5'7"?
Yeah, 5'7". He's good. Marcus Stroman's a cop.
Wow.
We got more coming up in 2 minutes.
He's got a giant wallet now, too.
He does.
Yeah, a lot of money.
As big as he is.
Yeah.
Michael, thank you for coming in.
Good to see you.
Man, you know how much fun I enjoy this.
Thank you. Yes,
this was a great surprise.
Classing up the joint. Look at that with that outfit.
Oh, beautiful. All right, so we've got Fred and Xander on the breaking news, everything that they're going to talk about. Can't wait. Thank you to Michael Wilbon for stopping in studio. Mike Tirico was on the show earlier, and Dan Weider and Cap are going to fight over bear stuff.
Oh, boy.
That's going to be very, very exciting. 2 minutes away from Fred and Xander, and thank you to Black and Abdallah for all their great work. For Wilbon and Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Wednesday night.
I am really excited.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfort.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No hi from you.
What?
No hi from you.
I give him more buys than highs.